Welcome to Pod of Thunder, the recognized symbol of excellence in rock and roll podcasting, brought to you by Curiosities. Your home smells like shit. Do something about it.
People are saying it.
We've been reading about it.
Several DMs today.
Private group chats about your home smell. Let's take care of that in the new year here.
Plus it's winter.
Chris, what are we burning over there?
We've looped back around to the Dream On candle. That's teak wood, musk, leather, and sage.
Andy's got those in his pocket.
I've got a vial of each. If I sit down wrong, they're going to burst, and I'm going to smell like the Dream On candle.
Get the dustbin out. And...
You're going to Mr. Belvedere the musk in your pants.
Yes. So curiosities.com. Enter the promo code POTHEAD for 20% off.
20% off. It's worth it.
Get it.
Bargain at twice the price.
That's right. And also, the show is brought to you by... Patreon.com/Pod of Thunder. There's a tier for everybody, and if there's something that you don't see that you want to see, let us know. We'll make it happen. It's your show. You're the we're doing Fantasy Pod of Thunder.
Ooh.
You're the general manager. What moves do you want to make? Let us know. You can do it at a variety of levels, starting as low as $5. And you know who I am.
Could he be?
Yes.
The most nakedest man in the world.
Yes, it's your buddy Andy, yes. America's little brother, the nakedest man in the world. That's right.
And naked as the day you were born.
That's right. World's nakedest man. And as always, I'm joined by this guy behind me. He's up to something.
Ruffling through something.
He's got some kind of elaborate setup. Let me just tell you this. When we were walking in, he said, I got some bull ready for you. So we'll see what that is. Let's find out.
He's not ready.
I thought I bought you enough time.
No, you're always too quick with that. I'm never ready to be filming half the time when you start the music.
Well, you know, I don't want to say too much, but you can get up before when I'm introducing myself. You can get your phone out. Nick can get up. We'll be ready. There he is. He's ready to do it. Nick Pollock, representing the United States of America, curling champion.
He's representing Pod Thunderstone.
Yeah, curling. Right. The new curling champions.
I didn't know we were in there for...
Put money on it.
I know we had a winter...
We're in there for everything.
Okay, good.
Triathlon, curling, we're in all of it.
All right, well, Nick defected to Pod Thunderstone.
Dual citizenship.
There you go.
It's a polite way of saying he was thrown out of the United States.
Deported.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Nick, welcome to the show.
Ejected by ICE.
Poor Nick.
Yeah, well.
Nick was targeted.
They had good reason.
They did.
I didn't fault him.
I suppose that's true. And to Nick's immediate left, you want him. We got him!
Oh, yeah. Succumb to my power, my age, and my weight. All of which are considerable.
Put your hands together for the breakout star of the podcast medium. There he is. Chris L's here. And we've got a fourth with us. Keeping up with our tradition or whatever, our theme for this month of February, we're bringing a guest every episode, I think, maybe. We'll see.
I think we do have guests booked for every episode.
Every episode.
Is that correct?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Every episode.
So here we go. Long-time listener, first time joining us, our dear friend Ace Miz.
Ace Miz, his last name is Messler. Ace Miz, his sack resembles leather. Ace Miz, we can pot together.
Wow. Look what
That's
you got.
My new ringtone.
Yeah, it is.
You got one. Good job, guys. Ace, welcome to the show, buddy. How you doing?
Thanks for having me. What a dream come true.
Listen to you. How long have we known you? My goodness, it's probably been 12 time. Years, almost as long as the show's been
going.
I was
thinking about it earlier. I started listening in 2014.
So, at least, right there.
Yeah, and it was I was thinking about this earlier, too. In the fall, it'll be 10 years since we encountered each other on the KISS cruise.
Oh, jeez. So,
That's right.
And we almost met each other in Tampa at the airport.
Yeah, I was thinking about that
We missed each other by
too.
A few hours.
You know, it's none of my business, but I've noticed from your social media activity, you're a bit of a globetrotter. You're always doing something.
He's traveling, surrounded by women in every picture. I mean, it's why he's the perfect guest for February.
Yeah, you're right. I don't need to know details. I just know what I see, and that's what I see. So, welcome to the show. Hope some of that rubs off on us and everybody listening.
Yeah, well, we're all married men, so we're just going to live vicariously through Messler.
Well, you know, we could still have some travels.
Oh, traveling, sure. Yeah. I'm talking about the gaggles of women he's constantly surrounded by in photos.
Yeah, we don't need any of that, but, you know, the lifestyle.
Hey, he can have all of it, you know. He deserves it.
Ace can have it.
He can have it, yes.
Wow, so we're glad to have you here with us in February.
Yeah.
What the hell's going on? It's the second week of February.
Yep. Now, as is customary, the guest gets a custom entrance theme song. That's something we hang our hats on here at the show. It differentiates us from other programs.
It's so far above and beyond what is necessary. I don't mean for you. I just mean in general. No other show on earth has done that. There's no way.
If there is one, somebody... pointed out to me because I don't think anybody else goes to that effort.
You guys are
something. And
they're
all pretty good too.
Well, that's we take pride in this stuff.
Yeah.
True.
Now I will say though, it's slightly unfortunate that the other perk that first time guests usually get, which is the privilege to pick the song, you will not be getting tonight.
That's all right.
Because Nick feels pretty strongly about his song choice.
I think you'll like it.
I trust Nick.
I think you'll like it. And it's a video watch along.
Okay. Oh, boy.
Okay.
If I say so myself, a fairly entertaining one. But first, I do have a little something.
You got something in the foil.
Oh, yeah? I'm passing it over here. Well, it looks...
sending it your way.
Sorry, we couldn't get any over to. The mess over there.
Who wants to eat dainties? Who wants to eat baked treats with me?
So,
well, we did send some his way, but apparently the delivery driver got stuck in the snow and the package didn't make it to your house. So,
as soon as he started saying something, I knew that was coming.
You know, some people just aren't cut out to be delivery drivers.
Not everybody.
So, what we have here, I'm trying at least this month to tie it into a certain scent from the Curiosities website.
Really?
I'm having a great time trying to make this look like it's my eyes.
Last week we had the sort of Bananas Foster angle on the butter tart.
Oh, okay. I didn't know there was a tie in there, though. That's interesting.
Yeah, so I'm going with... we have a... Your almost basic Paula Deen butter cake, which I've made before. Gooey butter cake, she calls them. Tried and true recipe. But I decided... to go with an Italianized version, I guess we would say, some mascarpone cheese instead of cream cheese, and mini chocolate chips and pistachio. Mm. So I'm going for the Leave the Gun cannoli and gun smoke candle.
All right.
Available at Curiosities, which is the one that intrigues me the most.
And I'm a fool. What song is that?
That's from the cinema Godfather. Collection.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, okay.
They've got a movie collection. That would be the Godfather one.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah. They have a few different collections, not all of them.
Cannoli and Gunsmoke. That's just the most intriguing combination. Hmm. So we have a cannoli-ized version of Paula Deen's gooey butter cake.
Ace, I thought you were hitting the pen there for a second, but literally you just have a pen in your mouth.
I was literally hitting the pen.
I was going to say that's a first on the show, but nope.
A regular pen.
A literal writing instrument. Never mind.
That would be the first?
I think so.
Yeah, I don't think anybody's vaped on the show before.
Hey, 13 years almost now.
Yeah,
it's time.
Yeah. Some people love it, vaping.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
So what is the flavor profile of this cheese? I'm not familiar with this variant.
I don't really know, but it's a little bit. I think it's got a bit more moisture in it. It's a little lighter, a bit more moisture than a regular cream cheese. So, yeah,
we're all happy with that. Visible moisture.
The moisture will carry through to the ensuing loaves that will result from eating this treat. So
hopefully you guys enjoy it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll
also
cut into it.
Ties into the Olympics taking place in Italy.
Oh, right.
I didn't even know what was going on in Italy.
Oh, yeah.
Starting, well, as we're recording this, the opening ceremony is tomorrow, right?
Friday. Yes.
Some sports have already been played, but...
Yeah, they typically do that, but yeah.
Wouldn't you hate to be one of those where you're done before it starts?
It's kind of like being a rock musician in the Grammys. It's not televised.
Oh, yeah.
It just happens, you know.
Take our word
for
it.
Earlier in the day, it gets put out as a news item, and then that's it.
But, you know, nobody ever... I don't know when they're awarded their medals. They always wear them at the closing ceremonies.
Mm-hmm.
You can medal before the opening ceremonies, right? But you never see anybody wearing a medal. That'd be pretty cool, though.
I guess technically you could, but...
Like, I'm done already.
I suppose it's just not allowed by whoever's...
I heard those medals are cheap anyway.
Who told you that?
The Pod Thunderstand athlete that complaining.
Who stole one?
They're cheap.
That's what I heard. I heard they're not all...
They're poorly made?
Corners are cut, I'm from what I've heard.
Who'd you hear this from?
It wasn't anybody personally that I know. It was just... you hear things. Somebody leaks their information out there.
One of these anonymous sources. In other words, made-up stories going on.
Maybe they're not cheap. Well, I think they're expensive, but I heard they're not.
There's not a lot of craftsmanship in going into it. Is that what you're saying?
That's rumor.
Now, don't the not the athletes, but they have to be purchased, right? Isn't that the thing?
Yeah.
So I assume it has to be by sponsors.
So probably like Home Depot buys a whole lot of medals.
Yeah.
And stuff like
Flavor
that.
Flav just threw his hat into the ring, as odd as that is.
Really?
He sponsors the women's bobsled team of the United
States.
Of course. Because who else is going to take care of our women athletes other than Flavor Flav?
And plus he practically wears Olympic medals or stuff even larger
on his neck
on a daily basis.
Of all people, the guy who's doing right for our country, who would have had that on their bingo card 20 years ago, 30 years ago, whatever.
Good for him.
Oh, and Snoop Dogg's involved in the Olympics.
He's just collecting money.
He didn't have to get involved. He's become the face of the Olympics.
Probably the millions of dollars helped.
Well, it doesn't hurt.
Incentivize him.
It's still something else you wouldn't have had on your bingo card 20 years ago when he was on trial for murder.
Absolutely.
Yeah, true. Like, guess what? This guy's going to be the face of the fucking Olympics in 20 years.
Who was bound to the hip more, Johnny Weir and Tara Lipinski, or Snoop Dogg and Martha Stewart?
Oh, I know.
You can't see one without the other.
It's how it happens.
I was at Walmart before Christmas. Even the merchandising, they had that Snoop on the stoop, where it's like the elf on the shelf. They had the Snoop Dogg one. Right next to it, the Martha one.
Hmm.
Like, even in that kind of merchandising, they are... They're just connected to each other.
We're making two, and those are the two we're making.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They are a brand, a combined brand.
All of it is just completely bizarre.
Bobby Root says, I believe Nick, because who cares about the
valid comment?
Yeah. About the quality of the medals.
Oh, I thought he was talking about Snoop and Martha Stewart. That would apply to them, too, probably, but.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yep. All right. Well, good luck to those Pod Thunderstand athletes. Hopefully they made it. Hopefully their ship made it over there.
Yeah, yeah.
Couldn't afford airfare. So what are we doing here? It's Nick's pick.
Nick is picking the song, and he's already revealed that there will be a video watch along happening.
I think it's a fairly entertaining one.
Okay. So, is there anything you want to say to us or to Ace Man over there before we get started?
I will simply say this. We have as our guest tonight a Las Vegas legend, and the artist we're going to be listening to, also a Las Vegas legend.
With that,
I am prepared.
All right, let's turn the microphone over to Chris Jericho.
All right, Harold. This one's called
I Got a Feeling in My Body.
Off of
Good Times.
By the band
Elvis Presley.
Oh, shit.
All right.
And I'm going to send Andy the specific video.
Okay.
Because Andy knows better than anybody. A great YouTube video title
yes.
will absolutely work on me. Mm-hmm. It's worked in this case. That what's in parentheses.
Okay.
I love it. So, this song is from 1974, was not released as a single until 79, I think it said.
So, a posthumous
single.
Really?
I think, 79 it was released as a single. But it was on the Good Times album in 74, written by Dennis Lind.
Dennis Lind.
How you say it. The man who also wrote Burning Love.
Oh, wow.
That's my all-time favorite Elvis song.
So, yeah, I put the rose petals down and let that guy walk on it because he wrote this song and that one.
Wow.
I got a feeling in my body. Did you get the link?
I got it.
Did you get my little note?
I did not get your note.
Okay, about when to start it. About 18, because there's some kind of thing here. You can't even really hear what he's saying. Or, yeah, right at the end of the black and white part.
Okay.
Yeah. So Andy, what's the title of this video?
I'm gonna pull it up for everybody here, and then I will read it as well. It says, as you see, it doesn't show it anyway. It says, Elvis Presley, I've got a feeling in my body, in parentheses, Elvis rocks like hell.
That's, when I first saw it, I thought, I don't know this song, but I'm clicking on it because of that.
Yeah. Makes a huge difference.
And, usually what is my top criteria for picking a song for this month is, can I hear Lou Rawls singing version of it? I absolutely can.
Okay.
So
is this a live recording?
No.
Okay.
No, this is a studio version. Yeah.
Someone just married it to a video footage?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Big montage.
I'm looking forward to it.
So... Ace, have you heard this song before?
No, I was going to say, I used to actually be a really big, big, big Elvis guy. Like when I was eighth grade, oddly enough.
Yeah, I get it.
And I don't know this one, though.
Okay.
So I'm kind of excited.
Now, I have not seen the movie, the Elvis movie from a couple years ago with Tom Hanks. I hear it's very good. Haven't seen it, but I believe in my... very, very cursory research of this song. I did see mention that it is in the movie. So the song must be played during the film.
Okay.
That's without seeing it, that's what I gathered.
You said this was released after he passed?
The what?
They released this after his passing?
Well, it was on an album, but it wasn't released as a single until after he passed.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Because the album was 74. He passed in 77.
Right.
So just wanted to keep that Elvis train rolling, huh? Just putting stuff out as... I don't blame them, but...
Yeah, I mean...
Putting stuff out as singles.
Putting out singles, selling nail clippers at Graceland.
Kind of like Kiss.
All that stuff. Yeah, very, very much like Kiss.
Yeah.
Kiss took all their merchandising cues from the Elvis machine.
Yeah. Andy got me a refrigerator magnet with Elvis's pecan pie recipe on it.
That's right.
Years ago.
That's right.
So you went to Graceland, right, when you got that?
No. Oh, you were I just got it in Nashville. Oh, I didn't even go to Memphis. No, you were just in a gift shop.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yep. All right. Chris, do you know this one or no?
Not familiar with it by the title. Yeah. I did see the movie Nick is referencing. It's worth a watch. So maybe I'll recognize it from there. I don't know. I saw that movie maybe twice. I haven't watched it a repeat viewing a ton of times, so I don't know if it'll register with me as being in the movie, but I would recommend seeing that movie. It's well done.
I hear good things about
it. Yeah, the guy who plays Elvis did a great job, and you know, Tom Hanks, almost unrecognizable as Colonel Tom. Hmm.
Oh, okay.
Interesting.
You know, sorry.
No, what's that on? The Netflix movie?
I don't know.
No, I mean, it came out in the theaters. I mean, I don't know.
It's only been a couple years, right?
Yeah, since it was a major new motion picture release, sure.
Check that out.
I mean, I think that guy was up for an Oscar. I don't know if he won it, but... Yeah, major theatrical release.
Did you guys ever watch those Elvis's old movies? Like, what was it, like?
Clam Bake and the like.
Yeah, with like horrible titles. Yeah.
Yeah, I've seen bits and pieces. I've never actually sat down and watched one, but that's not a bad idea.
Yeah.
I do remember an awesome part that I saw. I think it was Roustabout. Where he's doing karate on some guys who were trying to take his motorcycle from him.
That sounds good.
It was pretty great.
That sounds
like an episode of Happy Days.
Yeah, sometimes. Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's a I just wanted to point out, I think it's on YouTube, easy to find. If you're in an Elvis mood, there's a pretty interesting and I think pretty well done Twilight Zone episode, but it's the Twilight Zone from the 80s.
Oh.
About Elvis and his twin, who supposedly, like, I guess in real life, Elvis had a twin brother who passed away at birth.
He did, yes.
So this is about, it's a Twilight Zone episode concerning that.
Oh, so, I know that.
I think it's like, I forgot, it's like The Boy Who Would Be King. I don't know, it's some kind of title like that. But yeah, quite good if anybody's interested.
All right. Well, there you go. Something to watch when you're done listening to this episode. I think we're ready to get started with the song here. But first, let's take a quick break here from one of our very favorite sponsors. We'll be right back with I Got a Feeling in My Body, Elvis Rocks Like Hell. Not officially in the title, but we're going with it.
He's doing his Andy had to give pause me it. My bike back moves on the stage.
I do love that. I should probably get into that phase of Elvis.
The funky Elvis.
Or just the karate phase of Elvis.
I know Chris and I have mentioned at different times on the podcast, 68 comeback special, amazing.
Oh yeah.
But I think musically, man, give me funky 70s Elvis.
Really?
I think so.
Hmm. Yeah, he got
even more outlandish visually too.
Yeah,
as you'll see.
Yeah, it's all good. Let's put it that way. Comeback special. It just visually and the whole circumstances around it just can't be topped for me. But no, I totally agree with you. He had, you know, he's got the fucking Tommy Aldridge drum set behind him. I mean, it's a full. Full spectacle going on, and just the way he embraced the campiness of Las Vegas and just incorporated all of that into his act and his whole persona was just brilliant. I mean, obviously he was in decline physically and with the substances and everything, putting on weight and whatnot, but you know, in terms of entertainment value, he never lost it.
All right, let's see what happens here.
When Moses walked the children out of Egypt land, said, now don't you worry, we're in the Lord's hands. He's gonna walk beside us, time is coming near.
So So wait, how long is this karate exposition he's doing?
That must be a long instrumental passage in what song is happening. You might need to back it up a second or two when you start it, because this is probably my favorite part. What he's doing here. But musically speaking, mm-hmm. I love wah pedal in an Elvis song.
Yeah.
Percussion is really nice.
Yeah.
I love, like, the guy who wrote this wrote Burn in Love. Amazing song. Possibly the best bass guitar performance of all time.
Wow.
I mean, amazing. Amazing song. And that's a bit more up-tempo, of course, but it's got the same vibe to it. Hmm. And I just think that's like the perfect. Elvis's career, unfortunately, was so short.
Yeah.
But man, did it, when he reinvented himself, it was always interesting. People would, you know, of course, how many people parodied Elvis, especially during this phase when he was perhaps a bit bloated and, you know, had the big jumpsuits on and everything like that. But like Chris said, always entertaining.
And this version of Elvis is what spawned all of the Elvis impersonators, and then eventually, because there were the market was so flooded with guys doing this shtick, that other Elvis impersonators would take on other eras of his career. But it's this that everybody glommed onto because it's so over the top and entertaining, you know.
Mez, what's your Elvis era of preference?
I like the comeback special Elvis.
Yeah, yeah.
The black leather.
Hard to disagree. Yeah, with I mean, that. He sounded great then too.
And he just nailed it. He's never looked better.
I have that one on DVD. That's got to be one of my favorite concerts.
A buddy of mine's mom was there.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, and at Aloha from Hawaii.
I think you mentioned
that's
that
a good one.
Yeah.
Too.
Wow. Did she get into both of these events?
I don't know. She was there.
She can't tell you on the show.
Wasn't Aloha from Hawaii, wasn't that like what a record set in concert?
Was it? I don't know. Or was it like something about it being televised that it set a record, perhaps?
Maybe that's what it was. Yeah, yeah, yeah. There was something. I don't know. I got to look that
It was
up.
Like either
I
that or the Geraldo Al Capone vault episode. I'm not sure which one had the biggest viewing audience.
Fielding Fowler said, I watched Clambake a month or so ago. 10-year-old Corbin Burnson was in it. Really? I didn't know he was a child actor.
Wow.
No idea.
Well, Kurt Russell's a kid in a movie with Elvis. He has a scene with him.
No kidding, really?
Yeah, yeah, I remember hearing about that. But, yeah. Corbin Burnson, of course, played the character of Clam.
Lil Clam.
Yeah, Lil Clam.
Jackie says, I'm reading the Cameron Crowe autobiography. He describes seeing Elvis post-comeback with the karate moves and full-on Richard Nixon impressions. I didn't know he did Richard Nixon impressions,
too.
Yeah,
I didn't know he did those.
He was just doing whatever he wanted, huh?
I thought he just shook his hand for the one picture.
Oh, yeah, that's a legendary photo. But when you're Elvis, you can, in fact, do whatever the hell you want. And, you know.
Richard Nixon impressions.
Yeah,
kind of like when we went to that Gene Simmons solo concert and he started telling jokes between songs.
Some decisions are better than others.
All right, let's keep going here.
And this song's not, I mean, it's Funky Elvis, which he didn't do a lot in his career, but the whole spiritual aspect of it, mm-hmm. and the theme and the kind of choir of women mm-hmm. backing vocals and stuff like that, very much, to me at least, that's, you know, Elvis did that quite a bit. That's subject matter that he got into. Mm-hmm. He had whole albums like that.
He did, but he did a lot of it, but it's for the most part a widely overlooked aspect of his career. But just another musical genre that he just was a natural at, and he conquered it. And you know, he's a king for a reason.
I have a, I just found it on my phone. I went to Cincinnati several years ago, ended up in an ice cream shop. Mm-hmm. For whatever reason, they had this photo on the, I don't know if you can really see it. It's a pretty great photo. Elvis on a bike with an unidentified female companion.
Is that Michael Jackson on the back?
Might have been. Elvis didn't look too great there.
No,
his wind, hair blown back is not a good look. Yeah. In his later days. Mm-mm. Now, do we know where we just assume that most of this footage is from the Las Vegas residencies?
I'm assuming, but yeah, I don't really know. Well, it gets actually, the further we go, it'll be a bit more identifiable, some of the clips. But yeah, I'm just assuming it looks like it's a lot of it is bootleg footage.
Hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But it's the karate moves are unbelievable.
Face the line, there wasn't any doubt. We've got to be like Daniel, and the Lord will help us out.
December 3rd, 1976. One day after my 10th birthday.
Wow, yeah.
I was Corbin Burnson's age at that point.
Yeah, it's... This video always just... I have to... In the times I've watched it in the past, I have to just watch the whole thing because I love the song. Mm-hmm. I love the stage moves because... I will admit, there's a lot of Elvis I haven't seen video-wise, you know, live performance, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And just seeing that, the extra mile that he seemed to always go it's happened a couple of different times in this video where he's playing around with a guitar and then he just throws it behind him and some guy's there to catch it.
Yeah,
he had his onstage like valet was standing there, which is, by the way, one of the things that Dred Zeppelin, you've heard of them?
You've mentioned them, yeah.
Yeah, they did reggae versions of Led Zeppelin songs with an Elvis impersonator as the front man.
What?
and one of the things that they had was the onstage valet handing him towels, you know, taking his soiled towels, replacing it.
Oh,
so such pretty funny to see that.
The showmanship is just incredible.
Yeah, just, you know, it's like the Jerome to Morris Day.
Exactly.
You know, holding up the mirror and all that.
Yeah.
It's like that's an underrated aspect of the stage show.
It is
kind of similar to the dancing mm-hmm. guy in the Mighty Mighty Boss yeah. Tones video we were kicking around earlier this week. Just somebody up there not playing an instrument, not singing, just doing something,
part of the performance.
He's a part of the act, but he's not doing anything musical. And you know, it should be more of that, I think.
You guys ever see that late era Elvis video where I don't even know who the guys are? I'm assuming one of them is Colonel Parker. I don't know who else, but they're in a limo with Elvis, and they're talking about one of the, you know, the launches of what, probably, I don't know, what, Apollo mission or something. But they're like, they must have been in Florida or something. I don't know. But they're like, oh, did you see that launch, Elvis? And he's like, no, I was buried in a beaver.
I haven't seen that.
And they're
that.
Like, Elvis, we're recording. He's like, no, they don't got audio in here. And the guy points. He's like, oh, man.
He said, oh, man.
I was buried in a beaver.
Buried
didn't get
in
to
a
watch
beaver.
The, yeah, get to no, watch the launch of the spaceship.
Haven't seen that video.
Yeah, I'll find it.
I thought you were going to say he said they staged it. Like no. Elvis.
He started all the conspiracy theories.
He started
theories.
It all.
Yeah.
Oh, I heard they, yeah, they staged it.
Yeah. All right, let's keep going.
Nixon told him.
Shall the fallen weary, combat for the weak, leave the devil's evil, sweating on the street. I got a feeling in my body, this will be our lucky day. We'll be released from all our sorrow, leaving the land alone away.
So they switched to super vintage Elvis
yes.
footage
mm-hmm.
here that
yeah.
we're seeing.
Like on the back of a trailer or something like that.
Yeah, but the classic clip of him sashaying across the stage yeah. and he puts his hands on his leg and moves it aside and stuff like that.
You know, and that's something that I think nowadays we don't think of Elvis as being a dancer.
Mm.
There were some serious moves going on.
Oh,
there.
Absolutely.
Like, that's not a slouch at all. But he doesn't... Nobody really... I mean, you hear the thing, like, they couldn't show him from the waist down,
right,
allegedly,
right.
whatever, but...
Well, not allegedly. That was a thing. They wouldn't show him from the waist down because of the impact he was having on the young female youth of America.
Of the 50s.
Yeah.
But... I mean, looking at this video, pretty impressive. And he doesn't really, at least in retrospect, get credit for that kind of thing.
He's doing it in a suit, too. Like,
yeah.
Imagine how hard that would be.
Well, it's like that one that's before this one was...
Yeah.
Tom Jones must have seen that because...
Oh, yeah. Of course.
That's, you know, Tom Jones did that.
Right up his alley.
Absolutely.
Well, and Elvis also came up in the era where it was, you know, the top talent, certainly in Hollywood, they were all song and dance men. You had to do it all, or you weren't top tier entertainer if you couldn't do it all.
Right.
And he was the musical version of that.
So
and of course he got into film as well. Nobody's going to accuse him of being a great actor, I don't think, but you know, that was back in the era where you had to be talented across the board. Otherwise, you weren't top shelf entertainer.
So, I'm trying to think, like, someone of this level that really not known as song and dance, like a song and dance act. I mean, would the Beatles have been kind of the act where it was like, they became huge, but they didn't have that facet to them? Mm. Or would we go further back to, like, I don't know, Buddy Holly or Fats Domino or something like that?
Well, the Beatles were the first kind of, like, Beatles and the Beach Boys were, like, the first bands where it wasn't, like, the focal point of a front man and had some support people. But, I mean, you could trace it back to Chuck Berry, who had the duck walk.
He had that, yeah. He had the dance though, yeah. But the Beatles
right.
really didn't. They stood no. still on stage, you
right?
Know?
And so did Buddy Holly and
sure.
essentially the Beach Boys. So yeah, there was a change happening in the music landscape, and also that was right around the turn of the decade from the 50s and the 60s. That's when the song and dance man started to go away. You know, people weren't really latching on to that as much as they did back in the glory days of entertainment.
Well, I have to say there is that fantastic clip of Mike Love doing the monkey.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. I tried doing it once
you did it
as one of my
good.
Dances.
Yeah, you did. You nailed it.
Unbelievable.
All right, let's be careful about giving Mike Love any credit whatsoever. He's the fucking cousin of the Wilsons, right?
Was
something
he?
Like that?
Was
or was he even their uncle or something? Some sort of relative?
I think a cousin. I think
it got drawn into the orbit. And,
And then wore like a captain's baseball cap as his gimmick.
Yeah, you know.
For years.
Well, his high point was him doing the monkey for 4 seconds on TV.
Oh, it was so it's like out of nowhere. What is he doing?
He did that one episode of Full House. I think that was his highlight.
Oh, that's true.
Career highlight.
So he and Stamos linked up and became a member of the band.
To this day, yeah. All right, let's.
Stamos is still in the Beach Boys.
I think so.
He comes and goes.
I think he does select shows. Yeah, right. Yeah.
But he's still in their touring company in some capacity.
Yeah, okay, so he gets behind the conga rig for Kokomo, and then that's it.
Yeah,
I actually looked that up.
What a gig that is! What, the Kokomo video?
I was watching something on, you know, scrolling through, and it said that John Stamos played with the Beach Boys, and I like it was like a 2 a.m. thing. I was diving into it. I was like, what the hell? I was like, how is he a member of the Beach Boys? And, he just like plays the congos every now and then or something.
Right.
Well, I think he's behind. Yeah. He's behind the kit sometimes.
I think he does play drums too sometimes. I think. You know, I don't think he does the whole show. He probably comes out with a tambourine and sings for some songs.
Oh well, he's
John
Stamos.
He can play the drums. I'm not talking down on his drumming, but I think people want to see him up front.
Have you guys ever watched those Drumeo videos?
Yes. Yeah.
Did you see the Stamos one?
Yes.
He plays Papa Roach.
Yes.
Oh, I've seen, I saw a little bit of it. I didn't watch the whole thing.
Those are cool videos. It's interesting to watch.
They do a great job.
It's interesting to watch his, you know.
Yeah.
Because you kind of see what his technique is. If you're playing in the Beach Boys, it's probably hard to tell what a drummer, what their style is like. It's probably pretty subdued.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it was cool to see that.
Well, I mean, Dennis Wilson was the drummer originally, the guy who was, linked in with the Manson family.
Well,
he was the conduit to the Manson family. What a fucking weird connection that is.
Yeah.
But, he seemed pretty competent from videos, but he passed away, and then, you know, they just get guys up there who can do the job, but Stamos is in the Kokomo video just behind a conga rig doing the hand percussion up there. But you know, he had it strapped on a guitar in Full House. I mean, he's clearly multi-talented musically.
Jackie's right, she said he was at Riot Fest last September. He played with the Beach Boys at Riot Fest.
Anything goes.
Yeah, why not. All right, let's...
Did Mike Love do the monkey at the Riot Fest?
I don't know. At this point...
No one wants to see
I feel like I'm too old to try the monkey. Him? I don't know.
I don't know. Let's see what Elvis has for us.
Gates are open wide, shelter for the weary, comfort for the weak. Well, if the devil's evil, sweating on the street. I got a feeling in my body. This will be a lucky day.
I love how they kicked it up.
Yeah.
Kicked it up a bit. Let him do a little key transposition.
They gave him a break and then kicked it up.
Then he kicked it up, yeah. But man, oh man, like just watching. I will, full disclosure, I don't know any martial arts, but I'm watching this and I'm thinking, how effective are these moves in a real life scenario?
He's got a Steven Seagal vibe to him.
You think so? Only under specific circumstances this is going to work?
Well, I'm sure Steven Seagal was a legit martial artist, but when you watch those demonstrations...
Where he goes like this.
Yeah, he just moves his hands like
the guy does a triple flip.
Yeah, that's what Elvis is doing here.
Yeah.
Well, and that's another thing. I guess Kareem Abdul-Jabbar was probably a more serious... or at least had a reputation as a serious martial artist.
Yeah.
But you'd think if it's someone super famous like that and you're their sparring partner, you're going to let them just squash you, right?
I don't know. Maybe you want to take a shot at the big dog.
You think so?
I don't know. It depends on your personality.
Think someone had Elvis in some sort of toe lock or something?
They made Elvis tap quite a bit.
You think so?
I'm sure.
Then they never were invited back.
Yeah. Management threw that guy out on his ass.
Yeah, I mean, it's a situational thing. I mean, if you're literally a sparring partner, you're not supposed to put up a formidable resistance to them. It's not about you. It's about the other person honing their skills. But if he's an actual real competition. Fighting or martial arts competition, you know, then anything goes. But judging by those moves, he's not ready for the ring, I wouldn't say.
He's not in the octagon just yet.
No. Man. No, he's not in the...
But, you know. But like stage move-wise, it's so preposterous.
It is.
Of course
but
it is.
But it's endearing at the same time.
And he knows that. You know he's in on the joke. He's not Corey Feldman up there, to put it that way.
You don't think Corey Feldman is self-aware?
I don't know.
It's hard to tell.
It is tough.
I think it's borderline, but I think some of the stuff that he does is like, he can't be aware of how ridiculous and embarrassing this is because he keeps doing it.
Keeps getting booked.
But that's his thing.
Limp Bizkit takes him out on the road, so he might as well
play it up. Whatever works. But, yeah.
Just completely preposterous. But if someone asked me, should Elvis be doing something other than this? No, he shouldn't.
No.
This is what he should be doing.
What are you going to do? Take Elvis aside and say, look, don't do that anymore. Nobody's doing that.
I feel like someone would now, though.
Well, they would ruin it.
I know, they would. But I'm just thinking the way things are. You know, like if you put him, say times were different, right? The passage of time was different. He started later, younger guy. If he was on the Ryan Seacrest New Year's Eve, he wouldn't be up there coked out of his mind doing karate.
But that would be better.
That's so true.
Yeah. Sweaty Elvis doing karate.
I mean, imagine him not coked out of his mind doing karate. The moves would be sharper.
That's true. It'd be even better.
So just they could take him aside and say, don't do that part of it.
Yeah, wait till the show's done, then do that.
Yeah, you know, let's compare it to the idol du jour. Would you read this version of Elvis or Youngblood? I'll take Elvis 100 times out of 100.
Not a Youngblood fan?
Not really. It's overdone for me. It's way too fucking manufactured. It's not genuine. I don't know. It's too much for one thing, and
it's just too much.
There is sort of that vibe of
I think it's okay, but it's definitely overdone.
Yeah, and if you and or your handlers have to announce to the world that you're the savior of rock and roll, you ain't.
You're not.
So let's just put that aspect of it aside. Okay,
he won a Grammy earlier in the day.
He did
just a week ago.
Yeah.
Earlier in the day.
Even he Early. Can't crack he into the primetime telecast.
Yeah, he won one
for the changes on the
Ozzy's Last Concert.
What's the category? Live best, rock performance?
Best rock performance.
Grammy that we have to give away.
Whatever, I don't know.
I didn't realize they would do it for a concert.
leftover Grammy.
It doesn't have to be. Yeah, they just do whatever at this point.
Yeah, they don't care.
They don't care.
The coolest part about that is it was an excuse to bring Nuno Bettencourt and Frank Bello out on stage. That's cool. At the Grammys.
Yeah. That's true.
I like that.
Good surprised for Scott Ian didn't find a way to make his way up on stage since Bello
or
was
Dave
up there.
Grohl.
Well, yeah, I don't know. Somehow he's been, and thankfully so, he's been muscled out of a lot of recent rock happenings.
I wonder why.
Yeah, I think he's had to lay low, right?
No. He was at the Grammys in with his wife. I saw pictures of them on the red carpet, but he was not on stage. So I don't think he's been Will Smith by the music community.
Maybe he's just willingly scaling it back for a little while.
I didn't know he had that in him, but if that's what's happening, then great. Whatever it takes to get him the fuck out of the spotlight for a while, I'm good with.
Well, thus far, I haven't heard much Youngblood, but everything I've heard, I'm like, it's fine. Doesn't particularly grab me. At least not yet. Maybe there will be something.
Not great.
Maybe there's something I'll love, but I haven't found it.
Bobby Roode said Scott Ian is the Dave Grohl of metal. It's interesting.
He's everywhere.
He was popping up on everything for a while.
Yeah.
I don't know if I've seen him as much lately, but yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think all these guys had mistakenly thought the microphone was turned off in the limo over recent years.
Yeah. There's no audio in here. Points to the mic. Oh shit.
I'll show you guys when we're done with this.
I want to see that.
I got it pulled up over here.
Youngblood kind of, here a comparison that just occurred to me. It reminds me of when Greta Van Fleet came out of the scene.
Yeah,
everybody was just like over the moon about these guys, and I'm watching them. I'm just like, these guys are not ready for prime time. They could be. But they've been rushed into the spotlight, and they're not ready for it.
Hmm. They threw them up there after like one.
Yeah, but I will say that their most recent album, Greta Van Fleet, I'm talking about, was pretty damn good.
Oh, really?
They've gotten a lot better. So there's a lot to be said for being thrown into the fire, and you hone your act that way. It does pay dividends, but. When someone is being thrown into the mix ahead of their talent level or their experience, and they're being heralded as the next gargantuan rock act on the planet, it's a disconnect for me.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
It's just they're forcing it.
Right.
So
it does feel a bit heavy-handed, the promotion.
Yeah, it's too much. He's got a good look. Everybody likes how he looks.
Yeah.
But I don't care. I don't have to care. I think that's the other thing. I feel like a lot of rock musicians feel like they need to speak out on it. Like, he's keeping us, he's keeping rock in the spotlight. I don't care. I'm not making any money off
of it. We don't have to care.
Yeah. But,
Is that just because he did something with Aerosmith too, and
every
Ozzy?
Other band?
Yeah,
Ozzy and Aerosmith.
Now that's just what everybody's doing now. They just get—I don't know.
Yeah, so I get it if you're in the business and like, oh, this is good for us.
You can glom onto them, but as a consumer of music, it's easy to just ignore it. Yeah, although we're not ignoring it now, we're talking about it. But you know.
I've ignored his music.
Yeah,
I don't know any of it, I mean, but I just, it's hard to ignore being exposed to him.
He's decent. It's nothing crazy special, like people are making it out to be.
Right, I mean, look, the performance of Changes was awesome, and it came out of nowhere. A lot of people weren't expecting it, and it went great, and that's... You know, he had his legitimate moment, and he deserves to benefit from that and have a career. But to anoint him as the next god of rock and roll is—it's too much at this point. It's too soon.
Yeah, but it's probably Mez was saying, probably keeping everybody else relevant. More relevant, you know. So it's a win-win. Yeah. Why not talk this guy up? While he's getting all this attention.
Well, sure. Strike while the iron's hot, yeah. Of course. Yeah,
but and it's good. It's good for your whole genre, yeah. Business-wise, I'm sure.
It is, but, you know, are the Rock Awards on primetime on the Grammys anymore? No. Were they this year? No. So
yeah, true.
How much good is it doing? Who knows? We'll see.
All right, let's wrap it up here, Elvis. Got a little bit more to go. About a minute, a little bit less.
We'll be released from our sorrow. Leaving the land alone today. Yeah. I wanna know right now. I wanna know. Well, my head. I'm gonna leave. I got a feeling.
And that's the king.
That's him.
We saw Elvis take down somebody. Two guys. Two guys were vanquished throughout the course of that video. Andy's all over it. Let's see, this is, you know, we say best producer in podcasting. Here you have it.
I'm going to get this lined up for us here. 1 second. The title. There it is.
Tells you exactly what you're getting.
Yeah.
Did the launch chair go off?
Yeah. Yeah. You can see that. You can see it.
I had a bacon tomato sandwich.
When it disconnected up there. Yeah, Gene saw the explosion. I didn't know it.
I had lunch.
Because it just launched right over here.
I had lunch. I was buried in a beaver. How was your lunch? No, they don't have sound. Right.
There they go.
Do you want a bet?
You want a bet?
They do.
No. Just no, they don't have sound.
Just picture.
Oh, is it? Just picture. Sound taped in here, isn't it?
You sneaky. Yeah, that's why I want to say no. I wanted to know.
Okay.
Yeah. They believe that section out right there.
Now you got to do a 5-minute monologue over
what
this.
What a friend we have in Jesus.
5-minute monologue to cover it, man.
What a friend we have in the editor.
I don't think anything else happens, but there you go.
Oh, man. He was into it, though, after he found out. He's like, all right. I still like this situation.
It's just picture, ain't it?
Yeah.
Just picture, ain't it? It's a good quote. Nope, it wasn't.
Nope. Plus, you know, lip readers would know.
Mm-hmm. Yep. All right, we have to vote.
Yeah, man.
Nick, Sweet Surrender or Kick in the Crotch?
Extremely Sweet Surrender.
Woo. It's Sweet Surrender. Hell yes.
I love it. The video only makes it better, in my opinion. It's great when you see... I mean, every song that's ever been recorded, you could see a fan-made video. But this one, I think, is particularly effective and entertaining. And... that's not to forego a mention of the actual song, which I think is a really awesome song. I love funky Elvis. I think it really just, for that period that he was in and how he sounded at that time, it was like a perfect combination, that style of song with where he was performance-wise. And, I mean, got to give credit to the songwriter again. He wrote this and Burning Love. It's amazing. So, yeah, it unquestionable Sweet Surrender from me.
Chris?
Oh, yeah, Sweet Surrender. Yeah.
It's Sweet Surrender. Hell yes.
Yeah, I'd have to agree that, like we talked about, visually and the stars aligning and all that, the 68 comeback special is the pinnacle. But if you're talking about just strictly music coupled with, you know, what his stage persona became during the Vegas residencies and whatnot. The 70s Elvis is my favorite. For a prolonged period of his career, in terms of a single event, the 68 comeback special is tops and always will be, but for like a period of his career, musically and visually, the 70s wins out for me. And I hadn't heard this one, but I like it. To me, it sounds a little more Tom Jones than Lou Rawls, and I realize that those lines often get blurred sure. between February and September, but it works. You know, I could hear this on Lou Rawls Live and one of his up-tempo numbers, him delivering it, sure.
Ace!
Sweet Surrender.
Yes!
It's Sweet Surrender!
I really liked that one. I can't believe I've never heard that.
Yeah, first time.
I would check
I could almost hear the Doobie Brothers doing it, I think.
That's interesting. I mean, huh. Michael McDonald singing it?
No, it'd probably be more of a Tom Johnston joint. I don't know if that would be a Michael McDonald. Maybe it would.
I mean, he probably could have done it. I'd have to hear it.
I think I was getting Long Train Running vibes from it.
Yeah, that would be the Tom Johnston era. You know,
I liked it. I'll probably go download that.
It's a good album.
What's it called?
Good Times.
Good Times.
All right.
You said that earlier. Sorry, I forgot.
The whole album you recommend? It's got that similar vibe.
From what I heard of it, yeah. I've checked it out in the past.
Mm. Okay. Good probably Times and Fast Times.
Probably listened to it, yeah. Probably listen to it more now after listening to this, but I don't even know if Andy would remember this, a song that our dad, I remember, liked to some degree. It was on country music television back in the day, written also by Dennis Lind.
Really?
Do you remember the song Bubba Shot the Jukebox?
Yeah, that's him too.
He wrote that too.
Oh, wow.
So...
Who sang that song?
Mark Chestnut, okay. 1992.
Yeah, I remember that
song. I can still remember that chorus just seeing the title.
Yeah, me too. Interesting. I had no idea. That guy wrote everything. Okay, three songs.
The guy could write.
That's all he needed. I'd like to know what else he wrote, though, now.
Well, there's a whole list.
Yeah.
Well, some stuff for Roy Orbison, it said.
Damn.
He wrote Fuck Off by Roy Orbison. Yeah.
The edgier side of Roy Orbison.
It's an old Pot of Thunder reference.
Yeah.
Yeah, look, he's got he died in 06, but he got quite a list of songs here. So
Mark Chestnut, of course, known for his winning the hot dog eating contest every year at Coney Island. Inside of Nathan's.
Yep.
Oh, wait, wrong Chestnut. Sorry.
Close enough. Oh, I didn't vote. I'm giving it a Sweet Surrender.
It's Sweet Surrender. Hell yes.
It's always cool to discover something else from Elvis because you feel like you've heard everything. And, you know, there's more. Unless you really are an Elvis fanatic. But I feel like, you know, you listen to radio your whole life and TV and whatever. You hear all the Elvis hits. That one album that came out, I don't know, around 2000 or so, where it was 20 number one hits of Elvis.
Yeah.
Everyone was listening to that.
Elvis Gold.
Yeah.
I mean, and there are so many hits that you could never dig even deeper into the catalog, and you feel like you were missing nothing. But like you said, there's a lot of untapped gold in there, specifically like the gospel inspired and not even inspired, just straight up gospel Elvis.
Full albums worth, yeah.
Huge part of his discography that's largely overlooked. Who knows why, but guy could do it all. That's why he's the king. Still is the king.
Mm-hmm. And Dennis Lind, I just have to mention it. I'm trying to have a streak now. This will be two episodes in a row that I mention. The great BJ Thomas also recorded a song written by Dennis Lind.
No kidding. Do you know the song?
Where was it? It was Our Love Goes Marching On.
Don't know that one.
Not a hit that I'm aware of, but I mean, there's like Alan Jackson, Dixie Chicks, Randy Travis.
What did he
write
for Alan Jackson?
Alan Jackson. The Talkin' Song Repair Blues.
Okay, I don't know that one.
No idea, but it's got...
Are you an Alan Jackson fan?
No, I just know a couple of his songs. I was wondering if it was one I knew. I don't dislike Alan Jackson.
It's got its own Wikipedia page for the song, okay. So I don't know. I don't know it, but...
What about Randy Travis?
Train Long Gone. I don't know that one, but Randy Travis, a treasure.
How's he doing?
Did you see, what, last year or 2 years ago that they released a new song? They used AI.
Yeah.
Pretty cool, and it's cool because he was behind it.
Yeah.
He was there throughout the process, approving it and everything.
Right.
So,
what was it? A stroke? Did he have a stroke, or did he have something else? He had something that debilitating.
Yeah,
injury or something.
I don't remember what it was.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's hanging in there.
Yeah. Fielding Fowler said Chestnut did the country version of "I Don't Want to Miss a Thing." If you think a song couldn't be worse than Aerosmith's version, check it out.
Well, that's what a sell job that is.
I'm just going to believe you.
Yeah.
I'm going to rush out and listen to that because I want to hear a worse version than Aerosmith. Yeah.
All right, well.
Of course, the Aerosmith or that song contains the lyric "Sweet Surrender," so how bad could it be?
That's true.
Oh, yeah.
All right, look where we found ourselves, guys.
Well, the answer, of course, is it's really bad in any version. It's absolutely terrible. But
there you go.
All right, Hammond! I got a question for you.
Jerry Kern says, cocaine-induced stroke for Travis, I believe.
Really?
Wow.
Damn, Randy.
I knew he did some time.
Chill out, Randy.
At some point, right? For something like that.
You know, he didn't carry himself like a guy who would be doing any of that stuff, but... Kind of like a Kelsey Grammer, where you just don't...
Yeah.
The visual...
Very dignified.
Yeah, it doesn't match the wild maniac that the person actually is.
Who knows what these people go through.
Right.
What they have to lean on at times. But, Randy Travis, a treasure, for sure.
You guys, the Jones Brothers' appreciation of classic country continues to surprise me.
We just heard it so much.
I think Jay's into country these days.
Is he?
Like more modern country. We'd have to get him on and ask him.
Uh-oh.
I thought he was telling me that once.
Uh-oh, they got him.
They got him.
He's been compromised.
Well, if it's Jay, then he's into the Monster Energy drink version of country.
His favorite band's Limp Biscuits and Gravy.
we'll have to find
Randy
out
Travis more. is only 66.
Yeah.
Did you know that? He certainly seems older. He's got more miles on him than you would think.
But. Yeah. Well, I mean, he was, what, I'm going to say mid-80s popping off.
Yeah, I mean, huge.
Yeah.
Huge at that point.
But I guess he was a young man.
It surprises me that he's not 70 yet.
Yeah. He must have been a young guy.
He's one of those guys where when the voice comes out, it's like, how does this happen?
Yeah.
How does someone have this?
Yeah.
He's one of those guys.
Right. It's not fair.
I'm going to go listen to Bubba Shot the Jukebox now on the way home.
I think I might check that out.
That's a pretty fun one.
That's a cool title.
Here we go. On August 7th, 2012, state troopers in Grayson County, Texas, responded to a call that a naked man was laying in the road.
Yeah.
Not Andy, but Randy Travis.
I got the title from Randy Travis.
Troopers reported that they arrived to find Travis naked and smelling of alcohol.
Andy took the belt off of
I don't see Randy anything
and then
here.
Took it off of himself immediately.
I don't see
afterwards.
Anything here about a cocaine-induced stroke.
Well. Jerry's usually pretty good with this information, but hey, we'll see. Jerry might have the inside information he wasn't supposed to share with us.
Randy told him in confidence.
Bobby Roode said,
Andy Travis.
Andy Travis.
So, let's see.
Like help, though.
He did suffer a stroke, not on stage, but in July of 2013.
So that's what probably put him in the
Yeah, it's a
situation.
Geez, so he was only 53?
Yeah. Oh
my God, 54.
No mention of cocaine here, though, so who knows?
Jerry.
He's clearly confused Randy Travis with Kevin Dubrow, which is understandable.
Same.
Equally iconic vocalists.
Yeah.
So speaking of Kiss, have you guys ever heard the bootleg of the day that Elvis died when Kiss was playing? They dedicated a song to him.
I heard of it.
It's a thing.
Yeah, what was it?
I don't remember. I don't know if it was Rock and Roll All Night or something like that. But Paul Stanley, you know, he had a spiel about, you know, about Elvis, a brief kind of a brief banter about him, and then played, you know, just played one of their songs. Obviously, they didn't do an Elvis song, which would have been cool.
I heard they were gonna do a Jailhouse Rock on a Live 2 side 4.
Well, I mean,
I don't know if that is
true. And then Motley Crue ended up taking the idea a few years later.
Yeah. What did they do that on? Theater of Pain?
Wasn't it live though?
Oh, they did it live.
I think it was live. Yeah.
On Theater of Pain.
Live and
loud. Oh, it was on. Okay. You guys see that story that's somewhat recent in the last handful of years? It was making the rounds on all the Kiss like Facebook groups and stuff about when, I don't know who it was, like cousin of Elvis or someone, played alive for Elvis, and they listened to it together. It was kind of a cool story.
No, I never heard that.
It was something like, I don't know, he complimented Ace.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was something.
That is when Ace passed. That's what,
Yeah, but it was, It was Let Me Go Rock and Roll was the song that he liked,
and he
had him like play it again, and then was talking about how it's, this is what, you know, this is 50s music, but this guitar play, I forgot what the compliment was, but it was like a very Elvis compliment about, you know, Ace's leads being sick. No, he didn't say sick, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Dope. No.
How did,
whatever Elvis says. That shit was the bomb.
I don't know how Paul and Gene took that news, but, that was
Gene would always say, he always brings that up. Elvis loved Let Me Go Rock and Roll. Elvis loved that song.
I mean, it's
for
a
while he was saying that.
It's a great song for sure, but I mean.
But you know how Gene carries things in the.
Well, yeah.
Over the top.
Even now, it's like they're not even. Gene and Peter aren't even competitors at this point. Let's be realistic. There's no need for mudslinging. but yet that's what's being.
Is Peter doing it?
Well, he's responding, but Gene is just kind of.
Is he taking the high road?
No.
He's not.
No, Gene's the one that paid
he's
the toll.
Throwing it.
Well, I mean, I know Gene wouldn't take the high road, but Peter's not either.
Well, he kind of is.
Okay.
But just kind of, he kind of defended himself. But it's like,
Peter's
got a new album out. Just let him enjoy it.
it's just.
Honestly.
We've talked about this.
Yeah.
It's just so unnecessary.
And he had said it, like, days after just seeing him at Ace's funeral.
Yeah.
It's like, shut up.
Yeah, he can't help himself.
Yeah, it's just whatever.
So, you think Kiss would ever have gotten this funky?
Oh, I guess yes, for sure.
You do think so?
Yeah, mm-hmm. It wasn't far off
in the Wicked Lester days or after.
Yeah, if Kiss never happened, they would have gotten into this. There would have been a flute in there, though.
Yeah.
I got the Elvis quote. He said, "Billy, that must be his." Whoever this person is. All it is a 50s groove, but that guitar player, that guy's got some X-rated guitar licks. I really like him.
Ooh, all right.
There you go.
How great would it have been if Elvis called Ace to play with him, like to record on something?
Yeah.
Like, get that guy.
He said, "I get it. It's three chords and a cloud of dust, and that's how you do it. Leave him wanting more." I'm sure that's how they do it in their live performances. I don't know how this person memorized a quote from Elvis 50 years later.
Well, it's funny how that is.
But
after someone dies, you can remember paragraphs that they said word for word.
But there you go. My vote is in.
My vote is in.
Yeah, I could see facial hair Gene and Paul doing something that funky. Pre-Kiss.
Yeah, they were a little more folky, really.
The sideburns.
Yeah.
The sideburns.
Well, plus Elvis probably would have loved Torpedo Girl, had he.
I was actually gonna say, like, Unmasked era kind of traipses into this territory.
A little bit.
With, like, Easy As It Seems, and like you said, Torpedo Girl, just like funky bouncing bass lines, and that's what I was thinking. Less pre-Kiss and more Unmasked era. If they continued down that road versus trying to appease the critics with The Elder and failing miserably.
I don't want to hear anybody disagree with that. Tired of seeing that online.
Oh, well, the praise for The Elder.
Ridiculous. Yeah,
simply being a contrarian with that.
And if the fourth guy here today has something to say, I'm sorry, but you may feel that way. But I'm sick of seeing it.
No, I don't. It's a little overplayed.
I can see where there's a fascination about it.
Sure.
Because it's an interesting time that it happened and how it went and what the album sounds like. But
and just that it exists at all.
Yeah.
The reasons why they did it and whatever. But to portray it as some sort of quality release
Best thing they did.
It should be regarded.
Like, come on.
It should be regarded as a disaster, as it has been for years.
Well, that's another thing. It's just omnipresent today's society. We were talking about before we recorded, just like people are just looking for reasons to be outraged. Everybody's got a hot take, and just like I'm gonna get attention by saying something so outrageous, so I'm gonna say it.
Absolutely.
And it runs rampant in the sports world, where people just say shit out of nowhere just to get attention, and it's spilling
over. It's an everyday thing. That's all the sports world is now.
Yeah,
it's ridiculous. Hey, Jerry is apologizing. He said, I think I misspoke about Randy Travis.
Don't apologize to us, Jerry.
Get Randy on the phone. Travis's stroke was not an isolated event. It was the final catastrophic link in a chain that began with a virus damaging his heart, which led to heart failure, which ultimately precipitated a massive stroke. Yeah, my apologies, gang.
Fortunate to be alive. Honestly, after hearing that.
So the cocaine-induced element of it was complete fabrication.
What happens when we just look up Randy Travis cocaine? Anything?
Anything, John? Are you looking at AI, or are you looking at...
I should look at AI. Generate an image.
It'll say, sorry, I'm really busy right now.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. But if you pay for Super Grok, I'll do it for you.
But I'm not going to desecrate the memory of Randy Travis by creating this image.
Yeah, I don't know. It does say that he abused drugs and alcohol.
Okay.
Even before his career. But yeah.
A lot of people did.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, votes in.
Votes are in. Yours in, Ace Man.
I'm in.
All right.
It's in.
Yes. Nick, did you say yes?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Yes.
How are you?
All right. Let's go same order, which was what? Nick, Chris, Ace, Andy.
Sure, man.
All right, you do your thing.
All right. I'm starting it off with a rock.
And
roll.
Boner.
Good. Glad to hear it. It's a rock and roll boner. Are you kidding me? Who do you think you
are? I am. Damn it right. I still laugh at that.
I just did. After how many hundred times?
That's how Vince Neil would sing it, I'm convinced.
Yeah. The whole thing, though, that and the Pete Weber.
Together. Oh, sure.
Yeah.
It's a
beautiful piece of art, Nick. Thank you for that.
Oh, yeah. I'm glad this went all the way.
Well, listen to me. You know, I'm speaking to a certain listener who knows who he is, who's on the other side of the pond, who has had a problem with how many songs we've elevated to rock and roll boner status. I'm going to remind you, this is Elvis fucking Presley, okay? Who's gonna not give this rock and roll boner status? He's the king of rock and roll, so let's not have any fucking hemming and hawing over this vote. It's just, you know, just because it's not Hound Dog or Jailhouse Rock doesn't mean it's not worthy of rock and roll boner status. So there you go.
There you go. If you disagree with us, we're sorry.
That's just the fucking way it is.
And I know someone who really likes this song, and if years later he listens to it, I just want to say hi, Max.
There you go. Hey, Max. Uncle Andy says howdy.
He's a big fan of it. I started singing part of it the other day. I just did the I Got a Feeling in My Body, and he finished it.
He probably just likes the karate. That's what drew him in.
What's not to like?
Exactly.
About it.
You're right. You got to get hooked somehow. That's it. All right. So, hey, Ace, is this I saw an image, and I don't know if it was just baloney or if it was something that's actually happening or if I shouldn't talk about it, but are you working on a future podcast? Is it coming?
It is. It really is. A little.
I don't know how much you can say. I don't want to push it out too far, but I saw something.
Scheduling's the hardest part right
now.
It
is. It is.
I'm sure you guys are well aware. But
you know, you just have to lock into a day and try your best to stick to it.
Yeah, you have to make it part of your weekly routine.
Yeah.
Or like I remember when we first met Jericho, he asked us about when we record and how we, you know, what arrangement we have, and I just remember saying it's like our bowling night. That's pretty much all it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I remember him looking at you like, what the hell? What does that mean?
Do they have bowling in Canada?
If I would have said curling night, it might have been worse.
Totally understood. Yeah.
But no, it's a little, it's kind of like a spinoff of Pot of Thunder, really.
Okay.
From the Pot of Thunder universe.
Oh, man. The multiverse.
The POTU.
The multiverse.
And one of your co-hosts is a huge Elvis fan, possibly the biggest Elvis fan I know. So,
that's
is
true.
That Rob?
No, that would be Colleen.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. She, are you kidding? Every time she's on the monthly live stream, she's got her whole wall is covered in Elvis memorabilia. She's the biggest Elvis
fan.
Rob, I think
he does karate.
Well,
yeah, he doesn't like Elvis's music.
Right. He likes Elvis's martial arts prowess.
He likes which belts Elvis earned.
Yeah. Well, I don't know when that's coming, but I can say we're looking forward to it. I'm sure listeners will enjoy it. Once it's ready and you guys are rolling, let us know, and we'll make sure we let everybody know about
it.
Yeah, for sure.
Thank you.
Something to look forward to. The Pot of Thunder Universe podcast.
My goodness.
Yeah. Hey, man.
I love it.
We are the poster boys for if we can do it, anybody can do it. So,
that's true. Yeah.
You know, you got to set the time and just do it. Get out there. Put yourself out there.
Just stick to it, yeah.
Yeah.
That's a big part, yeah.
It's all about consistency, just about like with anything else in life, you know.
Yeah.
And I think once we get a couple under the belt, it'll start
flowing
a little easier.
You just have to get them under the belt, though.
Yeah, and it took us a while to find our stride.
Yeah.
Some say we're still looking for it, but... you know, just you got to stay with it. Consistency.
Well, I believe we have with this next segment.
All right. Here. Yeah. Yeah. Entering a new frontier.
Real quick, is there a name of your show that you want to say yet, or is it not ready?
It's called Rock Talk Roundtable.
Love it.
RTRT.
All right.
Okay.
So I think that kind of tells us what it's about as well, which is good.
Yeah.
It'd be funny if you're like, no, not at all. It's all about Chris Rock. Every week,
Dwayne the Rock Johnson. The rock.
Yeah. Rock cocaine is occasionally discussed.
Everything but rock music.
Right.
Yeah. Literal rocks.
That's, pet rocks.
That's actually not a bad idea.
Tim Rock Reigns.
Yeah. Why not? Rock Hudson.
Yeah.
He gets a Lou Rawls-esque month dedicated to Rock Hudson.
Kid Rock.
Kid Rock, yeah. All sorts of stuff you can do.
All right, well, we're looking forward to that.
Yep, absolutely. You send it right over to you guys.
Yeah, well, we'll let everybody know when you guys are up and running. But let's take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back with another batch of, well, not, I don't know, seasonal jokes? We'll see.
The jokes come out at night. The jokes come out at night. The jokes come out at night.
The jokes come out.
The jokes come out at night.
Well,
what do we got today? How many?
I've got three. One one submitted by a friend and listener. Two are mine. Mm-hmm. I'm told Chris has one as per usual.
My customary one.
I let Mez know.
As did I.
Hey, if you want to.
You got one
or
more?
You're entirely welcome.
You got a joke?
I got at least one good one.
All right.
Okay.
Maybe. Good. We'll see.
Are these the screams of curling?
They are yelling hard.
Hard? Is that like a hard sweep or
sweep
whatever?
Sweep hard, yeah. People lose their minds. If you haven't watched curling, riveting stuff.
Yeah, it's an interesting.
Even watch the women's curling, too. They're screaming like crazy.
Oh, yeah, you got to. It's part of it.
Terrifying sometimes.
Well, you know.
Disgusting to some.
Serious athletes, competitors.
So,
Nick, you first.
All right, I got one submitted by submitted one last week. Our friend Dave Tomko.
Okay,
Dave,
your friend Dave Tomko.
Great. Now he's gonna text me next week and be like, "What's Andy's problem?"
Don't be lumping me into this.
What's Andy's problem now?
My problem is Dave Tomko. Jeez.
Oh, boy.
He's mean to me all the time. I'm nice to him. He's mean to me.
Is that true?
Yes.
He's threatened by you.
Because he plays the victim when he texts me about it.
He's always mean to me. I'm never mean to him.
Dave, what's going on?
He's threatened by Andy's nakedness.
I've ignored it for so many years, and I just can't take it anymore.
All right.
He's always mean to me.
Well, Dave.
What did I do to you,
Dave? What do you have to say for yourself?
And when I say, oh, I'm not his friend, it's because it's from him. It's from his side. It's not from me.
Well, and Andy is showing himself to be the bigger man. He's allowing a Dave Tomko joke to be read on the show here. He could just as easily mute Nick's mic.
Just turn off the stream. We're done. Yeah.
So, let her rip,
all
Nick.
Right,
what
Dave,
do we got?
Dave wants to know if we can figure out which musical artist is the favorite among the British Olympic curling team. Which musical artist is the favorite among the British Olympic curling team?
Mm. Rolling Stones.
We have a winner.
Yeah. Yo, telling me with this.
Yep.
Mez, you want to go or you want me to go?
All right, I'll give it a shot here. Why were the swimming elephants out of the Olympics?
Get closer to the mic. We couldn't hear you. Plus, I was talking over you. So, and we've got yelling, curling people. So, you got a lot to compete with here.
All right. Why were the swimming elephants thrown out of the Olympics?
The swimming elephants.
He's tapping into the Summer Olympics. An interesting move this time of year.
I just like the possibilities. Yeah. The swimming elephants were thrown out of the Olympics.
Yeah.
I can't fathom.
No idea. Andy, any guesses?
No, I don't know.
They couldn't keep their trunks up.
Okay.
We enjoyed that one.
Yeah. How did I not think of trunks?
Yeah, that's good. One, yeah. That is good.
my turn?
Yeah. Unless you want me to do one?
Yeah, and you do. I got you two. You do one. And, yeah.
Okay.
Then I'll step in.
Oh, what do other athletes say when participants of a certain high-speed Olympic sport put on a snobby air? What do the other athletes say when these participants of a certain high-speed Olympic sport all of a sudden put on a snobby air?
I have no idea.
Yeah, I'm lost.
A lot to unpack.
I know, it's a little wordy.
It's fine.
Well, I'll just say there's a group being kind of snobby. What do the other athletes say when they walk by?
No idea.
I don't know.
They say, there go the bougie lugies.
What's wrong with you, man? You slipping.
Bougie lugies. Okay.
Oh, Jerry said luge bouge.
Oh.
Look at that.
All right.
Jerry's got it.
My turn?
Yep.
Okay. Uh-oh. Get ready to start it again. There you go. All right.
Sounds like the Beastie Boys.
Yeah. What did the Israeli skier say to his friends in the Olympic Village at the conclusion of the games?
Okay. The Israeli skier.
What did the Israeli skier say to his friends in the Olympic Village at the conclusion of the games?
Hmm. I have no idea.
Yeah, I'm lost. I don't know.
Slalom.
Ah, you're full of shit. Fuck you.
Well, I will have to go into mine.
Uh-oh. Like recurring theme here.
What's the favorite lunch meat of the Italian skiing team?
Favorite lunch? I think I know that. I don't
Genoa slalami.
Who gives a shit?
There we go.
We had the same same thing in mind.
You got one more, Nick? Or that's
no.
It? That's it.
No.
All right.
I'm afraid not. The slalami was my big.
Yeah.
My big finish.
Yeah, how do you not incorporate that word in your joke?
Yeah.
I mean, it's such a great word.
It is. All right. Winter Olympics. See what next week brings us. I have no idea what it could be.
Neither do I.
But we'll find out. Ace Man, thank you for joining us. Do you want anybody to find you online, or are you on the land?
I'm all right.
Okay. Yeah, no, I get it. Okay. All right. Well,
he's already operating under an alias, so you know.
Yeah, I'm good.
But when's the birthday? Did it happen already? Is it coming up?
Whatever. February 23rd. So.
All right. Well, nice. Happy birthday in advance. The big 3-0. Is that birthday. It?
Thank you guys for
wild stuff.
All your years of entertainment.
Absolutely.
You were a teenager when we first got in contact.
Yeah, isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
I was a senior in high school.
Wow.
Now I'm 30.
Those are the days, and now he's 30. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. I always
it's all
kept
over
saying,
for you,
can't wait
buddy.
Till I get older. Now it sucks.
Yeah, it does suck, but whatever. What else are you going to do?
All right.
Yeah.
It's not so bad.
No, but it's not as good as being a senior in high school in terms of not having a fucking care in the world. And but no, it's all right.
It is underrated. I didn't get it at the time. It is underrated.
I wish I would have understood more.
Yeah. Not having to pay a bill.
Yeah.
That was a good feeling.
Having, care, but I guess you don't have to worry about that, Andy.
Well, I got some. I got a little solar panel on the top, but can't see it on camera. What are you going to do?
Hey, if getting older was easy, everybody would do it. So.
There you go. Excuse me. See, look at me. I'm coughing.
Yeah, he's about ready to keel over right in front of us.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you, buddy. We
appreciate
it. Cocaine-induced
stroke.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Pepsi Zero sugar-induced stroke. I think that's can 3
could
today.
Happen.
And some Arby's and some Chick-fil-A. I'm going to be dead.
Yeah, you're going
to be careful.
There's a lot of clogging going on in your various tubes in your body.
Yeah.
Empty one of them later.
And he's practically living out a chapter of The Dirt.
Yeah. Also, that butter tart thing Nick made, excellent. Forgot to
tell
you.
Yeah, no, it was
you.
Good. Oh, yeah,
it was very good.
You, very good.
Yeah, that might have been one of the top treats.
Oh, the one from right now?
Yes.
The butter cake thing?
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Really? Yeah. All right.
Delightful.
Andy's version of the dirt is called the GERD.
All right, everybody. Thank you, Ace. Thank you, everybody, for listening.
Yeah, yeah, thanks again, guys.
Yeah, thank you.
Absolutely. Pleasure, happy birthday. Enjoy
happy
it.
Birthday.
Thank you.
All right, get some sleep. Bye, everybody.
So much for his alias there.
Or discretion there, either.
So I've heard.
Ace Mads, we can pot together. Come on.
I was kind of hoping you'd tear into the first part of that lead there, Nick.